I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me here to give a talk. And the title of my talk is Unusual Lipid Phases in Hardcore Boson Models on the Kagami and Pyrical Lattices. And my talk will be based on two works that have been done in collaboration with Arkad Banerjee, Kedar Damli, and Yon Baek Kim, and Arun Parmikanti. And by unusual liquid phases, I mean fractionalized phases or spin liquid phases in the spin language. And Ashwin earlier today gave a nice introduction to fractionalized phases, and you have heard about those phases in many other talks. And basically, fractionalized phases or spin liquids are exotic states that do not break any symmetry, and they have fractionalized excitations and topological order. And that is the degeneracy of the ground state depends on the topology of an underlying manifold, and this degeneracy is not related to any symmetry. The experimental situation is not clear. There are a few candidates, but I'm not going to talk about experiments here. And effective field theories of fractionalized phases are quite well understood theoretically, and many people contributed to this, and many of them are in this audience. And fractionalized phases have the excitations of fractionalized phases have carry fractional quantum numbers and interact with emergent gauge fields. And here you can see a valence bond state on the triangle lattice, and dimers here are singlets. And if you break a singlet, then the two electrons can move apart from each other. Basically, these excitations are spin excitations that carry spin a half and no charge. And in boson language, these are charge a half excitations. There are a few microscopic models that have been identified to have spin liquid ground states, but most of them have quite unusual interactions and restricted Hilbert spaces. And for example, Meusner and Sonde studied a dimer model on the triangle lattice, and this model has a Z2 spin liquid state. There is a Z2 spin liquid state in some model on the Kagami lattice. There is a U1 spin liquid state in a model on the Pyrical lattice. And in this work, we show the presence of spin liquid phases in very simple models on the Kagami and Pyrical lattices. And we do so by using quantum Monte Carlo method. And our models have only local interactions and no Hilbert space constraints. And we use the stochastic series expansion algorithm, which was basically invented by Anders Sandvik, who is in the audience. And this is our model on the Pyrical lattice. This is just the hardcore boson model. The first term is just the boson-Hopping term, and the second term is the nearest neighbor repulsion term, and the chemical potential term just controls the number of particles. And we do simulations always at half filling. And here you can see the Pyrical lattice. This lattice is a three-dimensional lattice of corner-sharing tetrahedra. At half filling, this model is equivalent to a spin-1 model, which has the following Hamiltonian. And in the large V or T limit, this model basically in the third order perturbation theory can be described by this ring exchange Hamiltonian. And these people studied this model in detail. Basically, they have found that, they argued that the ground state of this model is a U1 spin liquid state, which is described by the following gauge theory. And this ground state has quite interesting properties. There are gapless photon excitations that give rise to T cube contribution to the specific heat. There are gapped monopole and deconfined spin-on excitations. And we do quantum Monte Carlo simulations in the original model. And basically, here you can see the superfluid density as a function of V over T. And the superfluid density dies over here. And basically, here we have an insulating phase. And the basic question to ask is, what is the nature of the insulating phase? Basically, V is T is the Bose-Hopping strength.
But you can model the vector in
it. Yes.
But then there's also the ring
exchange. No, we don't study the ring exchange model.
You do the
yes,
phase.
Yes. First, we'll look at any signs of symmetry breaking. And we study different correlation functions, equal time density correlation function, static density correlation function. You can also look at equal time and static bond correlators. And here you can see the equal time and the static structure factors in the HHA plane. And you can compare, well, this plot is, this data is a little bit noisy, but you can compare this to the structure factor of the classical Ising model. And they are quite similar. And basically, there are no break peaks. There is no symmetry breaking. And bond correlators also do not show any break peaks. So basically, there is no bond or plaquette order. Yeah, here you can see three-dimensional plots of the structure factors. And basically, you can see that the equal time, those two are quite similar. And you can see that the equal time structure factor is, looks quite different. And we can... Yeah, it's a classical Ising model on the prior collators. At zero temperature, right? And basically, we can use this difference in equal time and static correlator to basically to prove that we have a spin liquid phase. First of all, basically, as I said, photon excitations give rise to a T-cube contribution to the specific heat. But it might be very hard to measure this at low temperatures. Instead, we can look at correlation functions. And static correlators have a dipolar form in momentum space, is generic form. And equal time correlators decay faster in real space. In momentum space, they have this form. So basically, static and equal time correlation functions have those two distinct forms. And if we have the same in our simulations, then we can conclude that the ground state of our model is a U1 spin liquid phase. We compare our the correlation functions from the Monte Carlo simulations with the predictions of this non-compact lattice gauge theory. We worked out the correlators of this gauge theory, and they have these two forms. Basically, the equal time correlator basically, we can feed our data to those two functions. And here you can see the feeds, and they are pretty good actually. Well, the data is a bit noisy, but the feeds are quite good actually. And and feeds are highly constrained. The square root of kappa gamma is overdetermined. It can be obtained from the best feed value of the first argument of this function, and this function depends very strongly on the first argument. And secondly, it can be obtained from the ratio of equal time and static data. So basically, we can conclude that the insulating phase in this model is a U1 spin liquid phase. Sorry? The definition of parameters, basically, you can see it's here. It's the inverse temperature. We can also study a quantum phase transition from a superfluid phase to an insulating phase. And in the vicinity of a continuous quantum phase transition, the superfluid density has the following form. So basically, if we plot the superfluid, assuming that the dynamical critical exponent is 1, if we plot the superfluid density times L squared as a function of V over T, then the curves for different system sizes should cross at the transition point. Well, there is no data here, but should be some crossing point around here. And and if we plot the superfluid density times L squared as the function of this, then the curves for different system sizes should collapse. You can see such a collapse here. Well, it's not very bad, but the correlation length exponent from this collapse is 0.4, and this is quite small. So so most likely is that we have a weakly first order transition, and this is consistent with a fluctuation driven first order transition. Basically, by these people. Here we have a scalar field interacting with a gauge field, and the transition in this case is driven to first order. Okay. And We also study the following model on the Kagan lattice. And here, the interactions are over nearest neighbor, next nearest neighbor, and next next nearest neighbor. And basically, this model is also equivalent to spin a half model, and there is also an effective ring exchange model, and the ring exchange term here acts on the bow ties of the Kagami lattice, basically just flips well bow ties. And in the classical limit, when t equals zero, this model is equivalent to the three-dimer model on the triangle lattice. And in the three-dimer model, exactly three dimers touch each side. You can see this here. And Leon Valenza and co-workers studied those models. They studied this model. They supplemented this by the rock circulation potential term, and they argued that the ground state that the ground state close to the rock to the solvable rock circulation point is as a two-spin liquid phase. And this phase is quite interesting. It has gapped Weisen excitations, and Weisen excitations are vortex-like excitations in the effective field theory description. There you can find spin-on excitations, topological order. And we study this model by quantum Monte Carlo simulations. And here you can see the superfluid density as a function of V over T. And again, we have found an insulating phase at large values of V over T. And what the nature of this insulating phase? Here you can see the equal time density structure factor in momentum space. And you can compare this to the structure factor of the classical three-dimensional model on the triangular lattice. And they look quite similar. So basically, there is no symmetry breaking. There is no bond or density order. There's no Paquette order. And here you can see the energy and the compressibility as a function of the temperature. And the energy decreases in two steps. And the first drop is related to freezing out of charge excitations. And the second drop, you can see it here or in the inset, is related to evolving into the spin liquid ground state. And from this, we can roughly estimate the Weisen gap. And the compressibility drops at the same time as the energy drops here, so basically indicating charge excitations. And there is topological order. Basically, consider a lattice with periodic boundary conditions in both directions. In the dimer subspace, basically in the subspace where each hexagon has exactly three bosons, the topological sectors are defined by having even or odd number on each row or column. And there are four topological sectors in the ring exchange model. And the ground state is 4-4 degenerate. Okay. And basically, the ring exchange term, just for example, in the dimer language, it flips, say, those two dimers like this. However, the parities of the number of bosons on each row or column are not conserved quantities in the full boson model. The quantum ground state no longer lies in the dimer subspace. There is a small density of defects, there is a small density of hexagons with, say, two or four or five bosons. However, we still can define topological sectors. Basically, we start simulations in some topological sector, then the finite density of defects will be generated. But but the wave functions which which we have in Monte Carlo simulations, those two wave functions, and here psi d is apart from the Dymer subspace, and psi prime is a part which has some defects, and those four wave functions are not connected by local moves. And we see in Monte Carlo simulations that that those four functions are not connected. There are no global moves in the insulating phase. And the energy of those four states are the same in within statistical errors. And so basically, the ground state is fourfold degenerate, and there is topological order. We can also study the quantum phase transition from a superfluid phase to an insulating phase, and in the vicinity of a continuous transition, the superfluid density has the following scaling form. And here you can see the superfluid density times L as a function of V over T, and there is a distant crossing point. And if you plot rho s times L as a function of this parameter, then the curve for different system sizes collapse. And from this, we can determine the correlation length exponent. And it has 3D xy value. So basically, this transition seems continuous. OK. And my conclusions. We studied a hardcore boson model on the Kagame lattice by quantum Monte Carlo method. We have found a Z2 spin liquid phase with topological order, gapped Weizen and deconfined spinning excitations. And the superfluid insulator quantum phase transition seems to be continuous. We have also studied a hardcore boson model on the Parakal lattice. And we argued that the ground state of this model, that for large values of V over T, the ground state of this model is a U1 spin liquid phase. And the static and equal time correlators in this phase are well described by electric field correlators in the Coulomb phase of a U1 gauge, lattice gauge theory. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Questions, comments?
So in the 3D case, you said that the quantum phase transition appears first order because nu is small, something like 0.4. Do you have any other evidence that it's first order?
No, we don't have.
So, but that small nu itself is not allowed for a continuous transition, or could it still be continuous?
I don't know. It's well, this value is very small. It's quite strange to be to have a continuous transition here.
But we also looked at the finite temperature transition. The finite temperature transition is clearly first order, and the jump is we see that jump is shrinking, but you know it may not go to zero in the T goes zero limit. So.
But on the Kagame lattice, we also have the finite temperature transition on the Kagame lattice is also first order.
Yeah, because of two different reasons, though.
Yeah.
What are the prospects for measuring? What are the prospects for measuring some experiment related to the order parameter itself in the 2D case? So that's where it will be different from 3DXY.
Yes, because basically it's likely that this transition is driven by fractionalized excitations, and they are, and basically if you look at the exponent eta, then
it should be very different.
Should be very different because
or even beta.
Because the order parameters are composite operator in terms of those fractionalized excitations.
But, I mean, is it at all possible to measure one of those things within your calculation scheme?
We didn't measure this, but I think it should be possible to measure.
It'll be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.